Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here on a Getaway Friday the 13th. Oh, my goodness. 2026. Happy Triskaidekaphobia Day. 14 minutes past the hour. Joined in studio by Matt Morgan. Matt, you've been on time now. Is today a month?
I believe so.
Oh, boy. The excitement is is really here. And you actually were fairly early this morning. You were here before the obituary report.
Yeah, a little past 8.
Yeah, but no sodas today, so it's kind of yay boo.
Well, I left my wallet at home.
You know. Should never take your wallet out of your pants.
Well, I had to change my pants at some point, you see, and then apparently I forgot to put it back in my pants.
You got to put it in the new pants, though.
Yeah, you see, but see, that's the step I missed. I apparently forgot to put it in my new pants.
Well, it's Friday the 13th. Do you have a fear of Friday the 13th?
No.
No. A lot of people do.
Why?
There are no 13th floors on buildings.
Yeah.
What else do they... 13 is left off a lot.
I don't know. I mean, I know that, like, my sister's favorite number is 13. Every time she played a sport or something, she'd be number 13. So I don't know what's up with that.
I like 3. 3 is my favorite number. Now, I don't know what makes a favorite number, but I do like 3. Tomorrow's Valentine's Day. I think it's appropriate that Friday the 13th comes before Valentine's Day. And then Monday's President's Day.
That's nice.
So a lot of stuff here. Now, what I do want to talk to people about, I said I would make a special announcement because we were doing something yesterday that I thought was going to be of great journalistic note, and I think it is. Timing is everything. As many people know, we talked about yesterday, President Emeritus of The Ohio State University, former two-time president, Gordon Gee, has been in the news a lot in the last month. He made some comments about Les Wexner on a radio show on WOSU that students did not like. And he has also made some comments about the OSU, what do we call it, sex scandal, I guess, that was so brilliantly portrayed in Surviving OSU, the documentary. Last year, in regard to Dr. Strauss, he's been kind of tied into that because he was the dean during that time. And then this week, lo and behold, he was walking through the halls, I think coming out of the bathroom after a lecture, and a blogger as well as a documentarian threw a camera up in his face, and a professor tackled the documentarian and kind of threw him to the floor. So he's been under the gun. Well, yesterday, we went down to Ohio State, and I interviewed President Gee. I think it's the only interview he has done on any of these subjects, and there we were.
I think it was good. Exciting.
Well, I enjoyed it. I thought it was great fun. I always enjoy... Taylor Swift's favorite number is 13, by the way, too, we're being told this morning.
Oh, isn't it?
Well, what I want to do... Well, the first thing I want to say... is that President Gee is a very soft-spoken man. We're going to play a clip of the interview. Now, this is not the full interview. We did a full-ranging interview in regard to President Gee. We talked about the gubernatorial campaign. We talked about the future of education. We talked about student loan debt. We talked about what makes him him. We talked about is there anything left he wants to do in life. We talked about everything, but there was a section of the interview, it's about 5 minutes long, in which we talked about all these controversies that have come up as of late. And we also talked about journalism. So I'm going to play that clip this morning. I will let you know when the full interview is going to play, but here is President Gordon Gee, President Emeritus, yesterday during our interview. Hope you enjoy.
I just want to go through a couple of these things that people are talking about, and you can say what you want about them or not what you want about them. You were on WOSU in January, and the quote that everybody is talking about is, you were talking about Les Wexner, who's in the news, and you said, this is cancel culture going wild. If you believe that there is even some scintilla of an issue, sometimes people just want to go to DEF CON 2 that silly. People got angry about this.
Yeah.
What do you make?
Well, I think that they didn't have a right to get angry. But they can get angry, because that's what they do. Because people take great pride in seeing people who have achieved great things or have great work to see them fall. And, you know, of course, I know Mr. Webster very well. I was on his board. He was the chairman of my board here. A few people know him any better, and I can say unequivocally that I think that he is a man of great values and great integrity. And we need to let the process play out. I mean, why would we ever condemn someone because of the fact that they associated with someone else? And we don't know how long the association was, or other things. So I do believe that we have this cancel culture, and I use it again. And, you know, people don't say the right thing, and all of a sudden they're a pariah. And people get bullied because of the fact that they don't think the way that some people think they ought to think. The First Amendment is the First Amendment. And it needs to be, we need to really point ourselves as an American public with the First Amendment, which is all about free speech, about the ability to be able to think and do and say what we want to say, to be able to be held responsible, but not to be given, a characterization in which there is no need to do so. If facts came out that were damning, I think we all know that Jeffrey Epstein was a terrible person, but he knew a lot of people who probably have no idea about all the things he was doing. And I don't think it's fair to condemn everyone who even had a relationship with him just simply because of the fact that he was a terrible person.
And I don't want to get too deep into this because I know there are some legal issues here, but the documentary last year, Surviving Ohio State, came out, and that now is a part of Mr. Wexner's history that he will have to testify in regard to that. Did you watch the documentary?
No, I didn't.
No. What do you just make of that whole story in general?
Well, I think, again, it's one of those things that I look back on 30 years later, and obviously it's a terrible story, but it was something that if I would have been aware of it, I would have taken care of it. But obviously in a very complex university, you're not aware of everything. There is no evidence whatsoever that my office knew anything about it. This one guy keeps saying that my name is mentioned 33 times in the perfect school. Probably it is, because I was president of the university. Your name is mentioned when you were president of the university. I mean, and so the fairness factor is very important. But I did not watch it. I just don't talk about ideas that are being litigated right now.
But you did not know about it. Is
no.
Yeah. And the other thing, and then we are going to get to education, because that is what I want to talk about here, just happened this week. And yeah, maybe this is just wrong place, wrong time, but people wanted to interview you earlier this week. We're taping this on Thursday afternoon. Some people who do blogs, and I think a documentarian, came up to you in a hallway. I think you had come out of the restroom, and a professor here had an altercation with one of those people.
Well, yeah, you know, I didn't quite see all of the altercation. But I do know that the bloggers were being extremely aggressive to the point that they were obnoxious. And I think that's not fair, you know what I mean? So I had been teaching a class for 3 hours. I was teaching the class. And so I came out, went to the bathroom, and when I came out, and I was courteous to them. I just talked about civility earlier. I think that the young guy, the young faculty member, that they really got in his face, and he was in a role playing the Good Samaritan. I'm not condemning anyone, but I am saying that I think that incivility should not be rewarded.
I want to take a quick break here, come back with President Guy, and we're going to finish up the program right after this. We're going to talk education and maybe the future of journalism. That's something interesting.
Oh, that would be interesting.
Hey, we'll talk about that after this short, but you talked about it in the event that happened this week. What do you make of journalism today that doesn't request an interview like we have done and just meet you in a hallway?
As everything in life, there are really people who are absolutely superb. But what has happened with journalism is the fact it's no longer journalism. Journalism is about seeking the truth, not seeking a political opinion, not enhancing a political opinion. I think, for example, what we're doing right now, you're a great journalist because we had a discussion, you asked tough questions, but you did not put a spin on it that was defensive or offensive. And I think that what is happening so often right now is that the world of journalism, as defined by what would be a good journalism, really does not exist. And I'm talking about from the far right or from the far left. I'm not condemning one side or the other. I'm condemning the fact that I do not know what happened to seeking truth and power.
And that was a clip of the interview we did with President Guy yesterday. Hope you could understand it. There was a heater. A vent, I guess, in the room that was coming through. So that was what it was. And as I said, President Guy is rather soft-spoken, but those were his answers. If anybody has any thoughts, give me a buzz. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. So what do you take away from that, Matt?
The clip we just listened to?
The wallpaper in here.
It's real tan.
I know. There's no wallpaper in here.
I think he's a real honest kind of a fellow. I mean, you ask him a question and he'll let you know what he thinks. And I think that's always a benefit.
Well, and I think that's the difference between journalism and what went on. Now, you have to be clear, though. You can't put your hands on somebody. That's a problem. That's a big problem with what happened at OSU, was that the professor put his hands on the documentarian. You can't do that. But what I thought was interesting was President Guy said he felt that the blogger and the documentarian were rather aggressive. And he says, you can't, what's the quote there? Something about incivility. You can't greet incivility with incivility.
Oh, incivility shouldn't be rewarded.
Rewarded, yeah. Go ahead, caller.
The way that seemed to me, good morning, I mean. How are you and Matthew doing after your adventure to Columbus yesterday?
It was a busy day, but we had a great time. The weather was okay. And President Guy is a very nice man to chat with.
How was traffic?
Not bad.
That's the only question that matters to Marianites when we're heading to Columbus or coming home. How's the traffic?
Yeah, I don't think we got caught in any jams.
Well, that's awesome.
Yeah.
What I heard him say, though, was that the journalists were obnoxious or whatever we want to call
aggressive,
them.
Aggressive.
Okay. I couldn't tell if he said aggressive or obnoxious. And then he said that he didn't believe in rewarding incivility.
Right.
Is that right? Okay. I agree with him with the not rewarding incivility. So what you do is you don't give a comment. You don't give them any material to work with. You just keep walking. And that's how you don't reward incivility. You don't give them the interviews. You don't answer the emails. You don't stop and make comments. You just keep moving. You definitely don't put your hands on people. And I really couldn't hear what he said about a journalist, but it seems to me that he had some criteria in his head also about what a journalist should and should not be. And I just totally disagree with that. I think that anyone that wants to be any citizen with a camera in their hand or a notepad in their pocket can be a journalist. Again, I would caution people about attaching that title to yourself because it comes with a higher liability as far as defamation and slander and libel and all of those things go. But I don't think that you need a college degree or a press pass or anything else to get the truth about what's going on around there.
And I don't think that's what he was saying. I think what he was saying was that you can call yourself a journalist, but that's not really what journalism is about today. Journalism is not about finding the truth. Journalism is really about
sensationalism.
Well, it's what we saw there. I mean, it's did we ascertain any information from what happened in that hallway the other night at OSU?
That one person is willing to aggressively shove another person to the ground when their camera gets too close to their face.
Right. So basically, the point is that what we learned was that a professor wrongly attacked a documentarian. But what information did we get from President Guy that night that they were both trying to get?
None.
So herein lies the problem. And I think that's...
I'm sorry.
Yeah. I think that's the problem.
For you.
Go ahead.
Well, would you agree that sometimes you have to be aggressive with people to get even the no comment comments from them? The ones that want to avoid? I was thinking about Colleen Marshall yesterday and when Terry was talking in the Jim Jordan incident. I mean, he was very rude to her, and I watched the video that went along with it. I'm not saying anyone was pushing or shoving, but it was in a situation where he was moving, the crowd was moving, she was moving, and everybody was just kind of getting pushed around just because of the movement of the crowd. So it wasn't, I mean, she could have gotten bumped into him, and he could have thought, Colleen Marshall's trying to attack me. You know, I mean, doesn't some of that go with publicity? I mean, he's lived a public life. I doubt reporters have constantly been beating down his door his whole career. But he should know that there's people that are going, and the people around him should know there's going to be people that stick mics in your face, especially with what's going on right now.
Right. Well, I think here's the difference in the Jim Jordan situation. Jim Jordan, I think, was very well aware of Colleen Marshall's covering of the OSU case.
Oh, I'm sure.
And I think there were a lot of reporters there. He was coming over, I think, to speak to reporters. I don't think she was the only one there.
Right. It was like in between one event and going to another, wasn't it?
Right,
I mean,
right.
It was just a throng of people there.
Yeah, he's passing through. So I do think that if you are somebody who's a politician, that, I mean, you don't have to answer certain questions. And she got the question off. Mm-hmm. And I think he just didn't answer it. I don't think that's aggressive. I think that's what you do.
He said something sort of nasty to her, though, didn't he?
I don't remember exactly. If he did, he shouldn't have. But
I don't believe it was the most cordial of exchanges that they had.
No, but I also don't think she ambushed him coming out of the bathroom.
No. I don't think that she ambushed him, but I think that public people should, and I'm not saying that it's right, I'm just saying that it happens. They should be used to being ambushed, shouldn't they?
Well, you can ambush them, but I guess the problem then becomes, what information do you get? Like, it's very interesting, the ambush, as we should say, from the documentarian and the blogger. Now, the blogger said he wanted to know about Les Wexner, and the documentarian said he wanted to know about student loan debt. Now, neither one of them got an answer because of the way they handled it. Yesterday, in the same week, I got an answer to both those questions. So, you know, it's not that he's not willing to talk about it. It's the approach that you take. And I think the aggressive nature comes maybe in getting an interview. I mean, did anybody even try to get an interview with President
Guy? We don't know.
We don't know.
Have you tried to get interviewed? Now, I'm not saying you go get yourself shoved down in City Hall. But, I mean, there's been people from Columbus that just show up at City Hall to get answers from our local government. So it wouldn't be unreasonable to think that another local, they like the other local reporter. She gets the news releases. It wouldn't be absurd to think that a local reporter would go camp out at City Hall until they could at least be avoided in person. Does that make sense? Like, you can't avoid me over the phone anymore. You can't avoid me an email anymore. I'm standing right here. Wouldn't be in person.
Right, right. No, and I think that's fine. And again, I'm not saying what they did the other night was wrong at Ohio State. I just think it didn't... If your goal... See, here's... It's what is your goal? Now, I believe Colleen Marshall really wanted to know what Jim Jordan thought about OSU. Okay, that's different. Now, did the... Do the bloggers and the documentarian, do they really want to know about college debt, and do they really want to know about how Guy feels about Les Wexner if they're approaching him in that manner, just screaming at him as he's coming out of the bathroom?
I mean, I didn't see the screaming part. I just kind of saw the few seconds leading up to the altercation, like the actual pushing.
Well,
the guy in the red is standing there. He's the one that did the pushing, the professor, wasn't he? And the guy kind of goes up behind him. He wants to see what's inside a classroom, it seems like. He's like, well, let's just get one more shot. And he said, how about we don't, or something like that, and pushes him to the ground.
Well, and that's not right. I mean, I don't think the professor should have put his hands on the documentarian. But what I can't understand about this story is, I can't understand why the... Here's what's odd to me. Okay, apparently these two were not affiliated. The blogger and the documentarian were not affiliated. And the documentarian is the one who got thrown to the floor, and the blogger videotaped it. So why is the blogger even a part of this?
Because they're allowed to be there asking questions, too. And what I was thinking is, I mean...
Yeah, but what did the story become?
Well, a professor going on hiatus, probably.
Right, and what happened to the Les Wexner story?
It got distracted from, didn't it?
It did. It did, and again, I don't understand that whole philosophy of journalism, because you do know to some degree that if you wait outside the bathroom for somebody, and here they come... Usually you're doing that because people have already said they won't talk to you.
Well, see, that's what I was wondering. I was wondering if, because these guys aren't traditional journalists in the eyes of everyone else, maybe they just get ignored. Maybe they've sent the emails. Maybe they've sent the requests. Maybe hijacking him outside of the bathroom is the only way to make their presence known to the man. I'm not saying enjoy being hijacked outside of the bathroom. Just saying, with that much notoriety, you should probably expect it every now and then.
Well, and I don't think he didn't expect it, and I think he said that he was very cordial to them.
This is what you say. Sorry, guys, I've got somewhere to be right now, but if you want to talk, contact my office. Here's my card, blah, 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 blow them off and keep moving.
Right, and I think that's how Guy handled it. I think what he was saying was that he felt that they were being very aggressive, and that the professor was acting as a good Samaritan, trying...
Oh.
I think he did say that in the clip.
Well,
I'm pretty sure he said he was defending nobody.
He was defending nobody.
As in, he wasn't taking a side. As in, he was...
Yeah, Guy was not taking a side in the matter. But he said he thought that the bloggers were super aggressive,
yeah,
I think.
Yep.
And that the professor was acting as a good Samaritan, trying to field... What was going on?
If Gordon Guy has those kind of issues that he needs a good Samaritan bodyguard for a bodyguard, I think he needs to revisit that parable. But he should have some security if he is that unsafe. Professors assaulting students.
I think by and large, Gordon Guy is probably not approached like that at Ohio State.
That's what I was going to say. I wonder if he's just like old school, and if you're not scheduling an interview to sit in his office, then he's not going to give you the time of day, and that is uncouth and untoward, but that's really the way journalism is done these days, and he doesn't really get outside the bubble enough to realize it.
Well, but I think that's what he's saying, because when I gave his thoughts on journalism, he said, I don't think that there is journalism anymore. He said, I think it's sensationalism. He said, I think this is what is done. It's political in a lot of cases. It's politically motivated. And people really don't want the answers. They just want the moment. And that's the problem that I have with getting somebody outside of a bathroom. I mean, if that's what you want to do, but are you really interested in what he has to say, or are you creating a moment where you're...
See, I might hijack outside of a bathroom to try to set up a meeting and, you know, maybe have someone with me rolling in case I got assaulted. But instead of trying to jam a camera in somebody's face, I might follow along with the card in my hand telling them, I'm really interested in the such and such story. Can I make an appointment at your office to try to... And if not, do you have any comments for me right now? I would imagine there's some level of that persistence that goes on when you're a young reporter, that you have to do that sort of thing.
And just to be clear, I'm not... I think that the professor grabbing a hold of anybody, I think putting your hands on anybody is wrong, but...
Calling him a good Samaritan is equally as wrong, so.
Well, but I think where the good Samaritan comes in is when Guy comes out of the bathroom, I think he was cordial with the reporters, and where is that footage?
Agreed.
You know, it's sensationalism again.
That's not the whole what happened with the Good Samaritan thing.
No, but now let's
yeah.
Let's think about this now. Let's think about this. Because Guy says what he saw of the thing. He comes out of the bathroom. They come at him very aggressively, but he says, I was civil. I was cordial. I talked to them for a minute. Then he's trying to get on the elevator, and they are still coming at him. And now they want to push their way on the elevator with him. Now, why don't they show the footage before the professor throws...
Release the tapes.
Yeah.
I did see the part where... I didn't see minutes of footage, but I saw probably 45 seconds or ish leading up to where the professor pushes the
But do you
down.
Ever hear Guy speaking?
No, I didn't
now
even
that,
know.
Now, here's what's odd about... But here's what's odd about... But here's what's odd about that.
He was involved, though, Spears, until we started talking. You started talking about it yesterday, and I went and watched it again.
Right, but here's what's odd about that. Even the blogger said in the news story yesterday that he was there to get a comment from Gordon Guy. So obviously that's why he's there. Why don't we see that part of the video?
Well, because it's not interesting.
Well, because if you've approached him and he did give you a word, maybe he did. And if he did that, then why are you still trying to follow him into the elevator?
Because it wasn't the word they wanted.
Okay, now then that's a different story. Because now you have got your question off. You've done your due diligence as a reporter.
So if he says, I'm not answering questions right now, guys, you just say, okay. Bye.
Well, do you just like follow him to his car? I mean, I don't know.
I don't know about the following to the car, but I would probably follow to the end of public property that wasn't a parking garage.
But now, see,
you're getting creepy.
Right, but after he says what he says or doesn't say what he says, do you think he's going to speak to you at that point?
No, but I mean, there's a certain level of discomfort that you can put people in to let them know you're not going away.
Well, that's I don't know. I just don't think...
And if that's not the way that you choose to do journalism, then that's fine, but that doesn't mean that other people shouldn't be allowed to choose to do it that way.
No, you can do it. I'm not the arbiter of what is journalism and what is not journalism. All I'm saying is, in the same week, their allegation is, all we wanted to know was about Les Wexner and student loan debt. They got none of that information.
What a combo.
Yeah. So they got none, and I got everything I asked about. So it clearly was that he did not want to talk about it. It wasn't that. It was the approach that was taken. And would we even be talking about this?
That just didn't work with him. That just did not work with him, but it got those people some notoriety, didn't it? Probably better
for the moment.
Yeah, it's probably better than any comment they could have gotten from him.
And I think that's what he's saying about sensationalism. Is it's not even about an interview now. It's not even about a Q&A. It's about a fight.
But who made that sensational? Them or the person that pushed them to the ground?
Well, I think
it would have been a nothing sandwich if no one would have gotten pushed.
I think the police force will decide that. If they were super aggressive, as President Guy said, I think that's a little different because I'm sure somebody is asking him that. I'm sure the police force has talked to him. Matt, what do you think of this whole thing?
Well, I mean, I think that you shouldn't go pushing people. I mean, I think that's obviously not very good. But, I mean, I think that if you're going to get an interview with somebody, I mean, I think that, you know, I don't think that chasing them down the hallway all the way to the elevators, the grand scheme to get the answers you're looking for.
Do you guys not watch CNN or anything where they follow these politicians from one part of the Capitol to the other and they're basically just running behind them and sticking microphones in their face and asking them questions?
Right, but that's...
And people get paid big money to do that.
They do, but that's also... It's not... CNN really wants the information because they are going to put that out immediately. And they're there to ask a serious question.
Streams. Often it's being live streamed while it's happening, or okay. They're recording while it's happening.
I just don't know. I mean, again, I as I said yesterday, I think they're journalists. I don't think we should be saying who's a journalist and who's not. I think they are. I'm not saying they're not journalists. I'm just saying if you really want information and not sensationalism, that's not the
front door first.
Yeah, it's not the best way to do it. And I do believe that, and I hate to say this, I think this is about clicks. With CNN, it's not about clicks.
There's a good possibility. With CNN, it is about clicks. It's always about money, regardless of
right,
who can get the story first. That's why they're trying to get it out of the guy's mouth before he barely even made it.
Right, but what I'm saying is, with CNN, when they're approaching somebody in the halls of the Capitol, they know that the reporters are going to be there. They're there every day. That's their beat to cover that. They know that that's going to happen, and they're going to answer the question whether they want to or not. And the problem is that CNN is not about clicks, because they could get nothing. When you are doing what the... And I'm not sure about the documentarian...
When you need 1,000 clicks to get a penny, CNN doesn't need the 1,000 clicks.
No, they don't need that.
But the blogger does.
Right, and they're paying that reporter to be there every day.
Right.
So the blogger is creating a moment. And when you are being aggressive, you know, people want to see that. That's why people watch Jerry Springer for years. You want to see the fight. You want to see the screaming match.
Excuse me, I wanted to see the television weddings with bowls of spaghetti and giant wedding cakes.
See, that didn't sell. They had to go to fights. But it's that thing that I think is worrisome to a lot of people in the journalistic world, is if that's how you operate. Now, if you, hey,
there's
can I get...
There's journalists that go to people's houses and knock on their doors and ask for comments, though.
Right, but you have the option to open the door or not.
Exactly, but there's nothing wrong with doing it once. You know, then you're starting.
No, but you know, did they even say, hey, can we get an interview? Hey, can we, right in the hall?
That's what we don't know.
Right, but why isn't that part of the video showed? Isn't that suspect to you?
Well, now you and I both know. I don't know. I watched it. I think it was on the regular news, like 4, 6, or 10 evening news. It wasn't like, I don't do YouTube or anything like that. I watch TV or read. And I saw the video. It might even have been on OSU or something like that. I don't know. But you know as well as I... So I didn't see it from the original source. You know as well as I do, that's not the full video that was given to whatever news source that I saw it from.
Right. And
they condensed it down to the part where the guy's getting pushed to the ground. So
right.
You do need to see the whole video.
Right. And again, you don't put your hands on people either side. So... That is not right. So
the
fact...
The guy that got thrown down, he was so slight. He wasn't a very big fellow at all.
Right, but here's what... that guy never even got his question off. You know? So, it's a very...
Now, he was aggressive in that he was right up, I'm not going to say in the guy's face, but he was very close to him. He was not touching him. But see, that's when you start getting into that fine line like you're talking about. If I'm 3 inches from you with the camera and asking you questions, you still can't put your hands on me, but am I being disorderly or whatever that the cops might be able to come up with, and then everybody gets some kind of ticket out of this situation?
Right, but here's the thing. You know, if you're Gordon Gee, you're in your 80s, you've been interviewed for enough documentaries.
I didn't know.
Yeah, he's in his early 80s. You know by that point what this is. you know how this is going to end up in the documentary. This is going to be shaky footage of you in a hallway being labeled as evading the questions. And
that's when you say, well, son, I'll tell you what, wife's got dinner on the table and she's waiting for me. I don't even know if his wife's alive, so this story might not fly. But you say, the wife's got dinner on the table, she's waiting on me, so I really don't have time to answer questions tonight, but I'll tell you what, you get a hold of my office, we'll sit down and do this another time.
Right, but
now that's a great clip for the documentary.
Right, I don't think it would make the documentary, I guess,
exactly.
Is the point. So the problem is that, and I don't think we've seen the whole footage, and let's see the whole footage. Because Gordon Gee says, in my interview with him, he says, they were aggressive, but I was very civil and cordial with them. And I talked to them for a minute, and then I got on the elevator. So where is that part of the footage? Because if you see that, if you see him talking to them, and you see him being very polite to them, then why are they still chasing him into the elevator? Why are they still doing that?
I would like to know what he considers aggressive, because at 82 years old, a journalist chasing you with a camera in your face might be far more aggressive than what he's used to journalists doing from years back. I'm not saying that I agree slamming cameras in people's faces. I'm just saying we can't be assaulting people, and I agree.
No, you can't assault
people.
You're
probably not going to get comments if you hijack people, but sometimes the only way you can get in front of people and be ignored in front of them is by hijacking them.
Right, but
it's all a mess.
But the question is that the story? That's the problem I have. If you throw the camera up in somebody's face and you don't get any answers, do you still put that footage up on your Facebook or your social media just to say, hey, clickbait, look at Gordon Gee running from me in the hallways of OSU? Because that's not your story.
You probably would, though, if you were just in it for the clickbait.
Right, and that's...
Here I am asking Gee, and he's evading my question.
Right, and that's the problem, because what you're talking about is, hey, this is how we get information. Chasing Gordon Gee into an elevator at OSU is not information.
He's not going to get it, no.
So that's what happened here, and we have to be very clear. That is what happened. Now, again, should anybody be rough?
Because we haven't seen the video.
Which, again, I think is a problem, because who has the video? The blogger. If you wanted to show the whole truth, well, why didn't you put the whole video out there?
Because the whole truth isn't nearly as fun as some of the truth.
Sensationalism, which is what Gordon Gee said journalism has become. Now, again, I don't want people thinking that I think that this professor was right. You don't put your hands on people. And had he not done this, guess what? This wouldn't have been a story.
Well, exactly. But as Gee has acknowledged that journalism has become sensationalism, then he should be expecting the people that want the sensational moments, and you just don't feed the trolls.
Right, but how do you not when they catch you, you know, going into an elevator?
Well, I'd be like, hey, I just walked out of the bathroom, didn't wash my hands. Stick it out and ask them if they wanted to shake.
I just think it's very interesting what people get and what people do not get. And it would be nice to know, did they put a request in for an interview?
Agreed, but the man, the professor that did the pushing, knows there is a camera on him, and the fact that he was willing to assault someone on camera.
Oh, wrong.
Takes a lot.
Wrong.
But I mean that should say a lot, that he's willing to assault someone when he knows there's a camera. He's walking up to him with a camera.
But now,
and he assaults him.
But now here's a question: when is an 82-year-old man allowed to feel threatened?
If an 82-year-old man feels threatened, and listen, I agree that could definitely seem threatening to someone, an older person, to anyone, really. It could seem threatening to me if there was three men in my face shoving cameras in my face trying to get...
Even when you've stopped and been cordial with them and said, hey, here's the deal, you know.
If he feels afraid, he should have security.
And I think that's what he says in the video. He says, I think at that point the professor was acting as the Good Samaritan.
But the Good Samaritan is not hired security, and nor is a professor. He should have security guards that are able to keep...
Let me ask you this.
Him.
If if you saw an 82-year-old person coming out of an elevator and two college age...
He's a minor celebrity, though. He's a minor celebrity.
Okay, a minor celebrity.
It's not like my grandma's getting off the elevator.
No, but let's say it's a minor celebrity who is probably 5'3", 82 years old.
So he's as big as me.
And you see two 20-year-olds in his face with cameras, and he has talked to them, and now he's trying to get away, and they're still following him. Do you say anything?
Yes.
I think the professor did too. I think he just went too far.
I would run interference long enough for Gordon Gee to get away.
Right, and I think that's what the professor did. I think he probably went too far.
I don't think Gee was completely alone, though, was he? Weren't there a few other people there?
There were a few, and I think they acted properly. Well, and by the way, there was somebody else who jumped in after the professor did what he did, because they're still trying to get to Gee, and the guy stands trying to block the elevator, saying, you know, stop.
But they're allowed on the elevator.
Yeah, but what's that ride going to be like at that point?
Well, it's not going to be pleasant for anyone, but, I mean, such is the nature of the beast that comes when you were the president of a school during a very controversial time. I mean, it's called blowback, Spears, and he's got to expect it. I'm not saying that, you know, you should be chasing 80-year-old people into elevators, but he was the president during the school being a rape factory.
What did he say about that? I thought that was very, that should be news right there. I asked him about it yesterday.
I went to Tinkle and I couldn't make that.
Well, you know what?
Out,
let me play it. Try to listen again. I'm going to play. I know the heater's running. We're going to try to fix that before we air the whole interview. But
okay.
But here, let's play it again before the hour's up, and we'll come back and talk about it next hour.
All right, take care,
Okay, Seth. Thanks. All right, here's Gordon Gee again yesterday talking about all this. Hopefully you can hear this. Let's take another shot at this.
I just want to go through a couple of these things that people are talking about, and you can say what you want about them or not what you want about them. You were on WOSU in January, and the quote that everybody is talking about is, you were talking about Les Wexner, who's in the news, and you said, this is cancel culture going wild. If you believe that there is even some scintilla of an issue, sometimes people just want to go to DEFCON 2, that's silly. People got angry about this.
Yeah,
what do you make?
Well, I think that they didn't have a right to get angry. They can get angry because that's what they do. People take great pride in seeing people who have achieved great things or have great work to see them fall. And, you know, I know Mr. Webster very well. I was on his board. He was the chairman of my board here. A few people know him any better, and I can say unequivocally that I think that he is a man of great values and great integrity, and we need to let the process play out. I mean, why would we ever condemn someone because of the fact that they associated with someone else? And we don't know how long the association was or other things. So I do believe that we have this cancel culture, and I use it again. You know, people don't say the right thing, and then all of a sudden they're a pariah. And people get bullied because of the fact that they don't think the way that some people think they ought to think. The First Amendment is the First Amendment. And it needs to be, we need to reacquaint ourselves as an American public with the First Amendment, which is all about free speech, about the ability to be able to think and do and say what we want to say, to be able to be held responsible, but not to be given, a characterization in which there is no need to do so. If facts came out that were damning, I think we all know that Jeffrey Epstein was a terrible person, but he knew a lot of people who probably had no idea about all the things he was doing, and I don't think it's fair to condemn everyone who even had a relationship with him just simply because of the fact that he was a terrible person.
And I don't want to get too deep into this because I know there are some legal issues here, but the documentary last year, Surviving Ohio State, came out, and that now is a part of Mr. Wexner's history that he will have to testify in regard to that. Did you watch the documentary?
No, I did not. No.
What do you just make of that whole story in general?
Well, I think, again, it's one of those things that I look back on, 30 years later, and obviously it's a terrible story, but it was something that, if I would have been aware of it, I would have taken care of it. But obviously in a very complex university, you're not aware of everything. There is no evidence whatsoever that my office knew anything about it. This one guy keeps saying that my name is mentioned 33 times in the Perkins School. Probably it is, because I was president of the university. Your name is mentioned when you're the president of the university. I mean, and so the fairness factor is very important. But I did not watch it. I just don't talk about ideas that are being litigated right now.
But you did not know about it.
Is no.
Yeah. And the other thing, and then we are going to get to education, because that is what I want to talk about here, just happened this week. And maybe this is just wrong place, wrong time, but people wanted to interview you earlier this week. We're taping this on Thursday afternoon. Some people who do blogs, and I think a documentarian, came up to you in a hallway. I think you had come out of the restroom, and a professor here had an altercation with one of those people.
Well, I didn't quite see all of the altercation. But I do know that the bloggers were being extremely aggressive to the point that they were obnoxious. And I think that's not fair, you know what I mean? The people go, so I had been teaching a class for 3 hours. I was teaching the class. And so I came out, went to the bathroom. And when I came out, and I was curious to them. I just talked about civility earlier. I think that the young guy, the young faculty member, they really got in his face, and he was in role playing the Good Samaritan. I'm not condemning anyone, but I am saying that I think that incivility should not be rewarded.
We want to take a quick break here, come back with President Gee, and we're going to finish up the program right after this. We're going to talk education and maybe the future of journalism. That's something interesting.
Oh, that would be interesting.
Hey, we'll talk about that after this short, but you talked about it in the event that happened this week. What do you make of journalism today that doesn't request an interview like we have done and just meet you in a hallway?
As everything in life, there are really people who are absolutely superb. But what has happened with journalism is the fact there's no longer journalism. Journalism is about seeking the truth, not seeking a political opinion, not enhancing a political opinion. I think, for example, what we're doing right now, you're a great journalist, because we had a discussion, you asked tough questions, but you did not put a spin on it that was defensive or offensive. And I think that what is happening so often right now is that the world of journalism, as defined by what would be a good journalism, really does not exist. And I'm talking about from the far right or from the far left. I'm not condemning one side or the other. I'm condemning the fact that I do not know what happened to seeking truth and power.
President Gordon Gee yesterday. We'll come back and talk about that right after this.
Every time I open my mouth, I like that. And I think you're a fair reporter.
Streaming live on the internet at WWGA.